If there's one thing we know how to do here in Appalachia, it's telling tales. And that's only natural, cause we got a lot of folklore all its own. Made up of monsters, ghosts, jacktails, and a whole lot more. Sit back and listen now as we tell you all the lore of these mountains. You're listening to Mountain Lore, Tales from Appalachia.
We have done so many ghosts, so many witches. We're going to talk about an animal.
Uh-oh.
A mythical animal.
Oh.
We haven't done one of those in a long time.
That's true. That's true.
Have you ever heard of the snarly yowl?
You know, we were talking about this and it sounds really familiar to me. So, yeah, I have heard of it.
Okay, well, for those who haven't heard of it, the snarly yowl is kind of a combination between the big black devil dog and a ghost.
Okay, that part I didn't know, so I'm ready to listen for this.
Okay, well, let's go on up into West Virginia, Maryland, right up in that area, up near the Pennsylvania state line. In that area runs one of the first roads built to knit the eastern part of America with the western Appalachian part. Now, this road, known as the National Road, ran through some very spectacular country. And in one place, the road ran along a small river, its bed cut into the mountainside beside the running water. Folks in those days called the passage a canyon, and in this canyon, folklore sprang to life. There were tales of werewolves, giant beastly dogs, among other stories told of the strange and terrifying. And it's those giant dogs we're going to tell you about today. It was said that a large black dog guarded the pass through which the National Road passed. This dog was, well, it's not like your family pet, though. It was said that its black coat fairly shined with an unearthly sheen, at once getting brighter, then waning, then back again. And Gina, those eyes, those big red eyes glowing in the dark like red-hot embers from hell.
Ooh.
This, folks, was the snarly yowl. Now, this animal got its name for the sound it makes as it growls, a horrifying and unearthly yowling sound. You wouldn't see this dog in the light of day, for it only appeared once the sun went down and the moon was up, casting a pale light across the canyon. There was a house in this area at one time with the name of Glendale. Now, Glendale was at the entrance to a holler in the mountain containing about 20 acres, level in the front, then kind of rising up to a point that the locals call the Pinnacle. A lovely place with a lawn, a vineyard, and a fruit orchard whose flowers put out a heavenly scent to those passing by on the National Road. It's at the edge of Glendale where the black dog was most often seen. There was a man known as William, who was described as a sober, laborious, strong, and trustworthy young man, about 30 years old. He was married and lived with his family in a cabin on the brow of a hill overlooking Glendale and the home of the snarly yowl. One night, about 10 o'clock, as William was returning home from town, he ran into the black dog. It was a clear night, and the moon was out, so William could see the outline of the snarly yowl as he came upon it. The animal was black, blacker than anything he'd ever seen or could have ever imagined. It was also the biggest dog he'd ever encountered. Now, the dog was sitting squarely in the middle of the road. When it saw William, it stood up in such a way as to communicate that the man was to go no farther. Well, this did not suit William, whose wife and children needed the supplies he was bringing back to town. So, like a lot of Appalachian men, William just fit him.
He what?
Fit him. Fought him.
Oh.
William soon found out that the dog had a few tricks up its sleeve, so to speak. As he laid into the animal, it, according to William, grew longer and longer and soon stretched completely across the road. It made no noise, but did bare its teeth, showing the man a very wide and very ugly-looking red mouth to go along with those glowing red eyes it had. William beat on that dog with his strong arms, but to his amazement, he felt no resistance, kind of like beating air.
Oh.
pretty soon the dog lengthened to the point where there wasn't anything left, and it vanished in a puff of smoke. William continued on his way down the road without a cut or scratch to show for his encounter with the snarly owl. But William isn't the only person to encounter that big black dog on the national road. Another man happened to spot the dog coming out of an old stable further up the road. As he watched, he saw the dog notice him looking at it. Suddenly, the man was seized with some form of, well, as he described it, color blindness. He saw various hues, and things would go coal black, then turn into great white spots before his vision returned and the dog had vanished. Once there was a man considered by his neighbors to be a crack shot with a rifle, and he was said to carry his rifle with him everywhere he went. Well, one night as he was crossing the road, this man encountered the snarly owl sitting there guarding the road. Determined not to let this dog, no matter its size, keep him from crossing, he pulled out his trusty rifle, carefully aimed at the beast, and fired. To his amazement, the bullet passed right through the big black dog with no effect, as if it weren't there. Well, not one to give up, this man reloaded and fired again, the same effect, and again, and again, until finally, realizing he'd met his match, this man fled, not stopping to see if the dog retreated or pursued him.
That's right.
And it's not just people, Gina, that are spooked by the snarly owl. Uh-huh. The apparition of the huge black dog is said to affect animals, probably more than humans. It's said that when horses stop at the spot where the snarly owl is seen, they will tremble with fright and refuse to move until the beast has faded away in a puff of smoke.
How about that? Makes you wonder what brought this out.
Well, people said they saw this. Mm-hmm. I mean, these incidents I told you about are in a book from about that time, back in the 1830s, I think. Mm-hmm. Witnesses who told the author about these stories. There are more than that. I just picked out three or four of those.
Right.
So something was up there, or everybody got together and said, let's lie. One or the other.
We'll tell a big tale. Well, I hope we don't run into it sometime.
Well, I don't plan on going up to Western Maryland or Northern West Virginia anytime soon.
You never know.
Well, that is so true. And folks, that's the tale of a mythical Appalachian beast, the Snarly Owl. Another bit of the folklore of this place we call home. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Mountain Lore Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Good Pods, Odyssey, Audible, Google Podcast, or if none of those suit your fancy, just pick your own favorite podcast app and listen to us there. Sweet dreams, podcast listeners.